You're with us for the morning show as we learn about contact tracing for COVID-19 in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Hundreds of state National Guard soldiers are staffing 16 community testing sites in more than a dozen counties. Major General Paul Knapp said at a press briefing yesterday that the Guard members have collected more than 17,000 specimens to date.
We're ramping up quickly, and we were really excited yesterday across just the Guard teams to have such a large number, and we're on our way toward reaching that goal of 85,000 tests per week.
With stepped-up testing, more positive cases are uncovered, and then comes the work of contact tracing. What do you want to know about tracking down people who may have been exposed to the coronavirus? We're at 800-642-1234. Tracy DeSalvo is chief of the Communicable Diseases Epidemiology Section for the State Department of Health Services. Tracy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So give us some 101 here about contact tracing. Exactly what is the definition for it? How does it work?
Sure. So contact tracing is really the process that we in public health use to identify people who may have been exposed to an illness, in this case to COVID-19, and then to work to prevent them from exposing other people in the future. And the process really starts when we identify someone who is a confirmed case of COVID-19. And that those individuals who are confirmed cases get what we call a case interview. And we ask them about their symptoms and their exposures, and we work to determine maybe where they became ill. But then we also ask them about people who might have been exposed to them during the time just before they became symptomatic and while they were symptomatic. And those people are their contacts. And we then, in public health, and a lot of this work really happens at the local health department level, and then we have some state staff who are supplementing that. We do work to interview those individuals who are identified as contacts, and we talk to them about what their point of exposure might have been. And then we work with them on their quarantine. We talk to them about any symptoms they might be currently experiencing and whether or not they might need to seek medical attention or testing for COVID-19.
And these case interviews, they're happening over the phone. Is that right?
Yep, they happen over the phone from local health departments or from state health department staff.
And the deputy secretary said yesterday, she said, you know, please pick up these calls. Please answer these calls. Have you noticed at all that contact tracers are not getting through to people?
I think that we have really pretty good success with reaching folks for contact tracing. But there are, of course, a portion of people who are maybe a little bit more hesitant to answer an unknown number. And we really want to encourage folks to answer our calls and to answer our questions. It really is one of the best ways that we're going to help to reduce the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin.
Approximately how many contact tracers are doing this work right now?
Sure. So there's significant capacity around the state and local health departments to do contact tracing. And these are public health nurses and other local health department staff who do this work routinely for other illnesses. But we've also added capacity at the state level. We've trained more than 400 state staff from a variety of agencies and from the UW system to help with contact tracing and to really supplement the efforts that are happening at the local level. And then we're also working to hire some new contact tracing staff.
We're talking with Tracy DeSalvo, chief of the Communicable Diseases Epidemiology Section for the state DHS. Taking your questions about contact tracing, what do you want to know about this effort in public health? And who is being trying to get a hold of? Have you been tracked down? Have you been exposed to the coronavirus? What was the interview like? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Tracy, how does this information get to the contact tracer after an exposure, after a virus has come back positive? What is the next step there?
Sure. So when the local health department does an interview with the case patient, we have an electronic disease reporting system in Wisconsin, and they enter information into that system. And then they're also able to enter information about contacts that case has into our system as well. And that system is a system that is available to state and local health department staff in public health. And we're able to use that information then to assign contact tracers to follow up with those contacts that were identified by a case.
And so this system platform is working across the state, and so health departments can all log in, if you will, to get access to who needs to be contacted.
Yep, that's right. It's a secure system for public health, and it's the system that we use for communicable disease information for all of our diseases, not just for COVID-19.
Do you discuss quarantining or social distancing, other practices during the stay-at-home order? What type of public health information do you have at that point of contact during the conversation, during that interview?
Sure. That's one of the really important pieces of it, of the interview that happens with contacts. We talk to them about what their date of exposure is that we are aware of. And one of the things I like to point out about that is we are not going to let that contact know the name of the person who they were exposed to. We really work to protect the case patient's privacy and the privacy of all the contacts as well. So they're not going to be told the name of the person who they were exposed to, but they will be told the date that we think that exposure happened. And that date is the start of their 14-day quarantine. So we'll talk to them about what the restrictions are for movement related to that quarantine, and also just talk to them about strategies to reduce exposure to other people in the community, in their household. We really want to work with them on the importance of physical distancing in the event that they would become ill.
Do you ask them as to whether they voted, for instance, in the April 7th election at the polls, or whether they congregated recently?
Sure. So case patients, when they have their interview, are asked information about whether they attended any large gatherings. And really what we're trying to do is identify sources where case patients might have had the opportunity to expose other individuals. So as we talk to case patients about their exposures, we do ask them about large gatherings, places they might have been, including things like voting.
Let's bring in a call now. Richard is here from Two Rivers. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah, my question is do you do anything special to when you call and try to contact a person to make, because there's so many garbage phone numbers a person gets on their mobile phone or even their email accounts. Is there anything special you do to let them know it's a real important phone call?
Great question, Richard. Tracy?
That is a great question, Richard. So when our staff call, they will identify themselves as being from the State of Wisconsin contact tracing team. And local health department staff will certainly also introduce themselves as being from your local health department. And we're working on some caller ID solutions that might help to improve this in the future. But I understand that those unknown numbers can be difficult.
Are these contact tracers, are they working from their own homes? Are they working from centralized public health buildings? Where are they originating with this information?
Sure. So our state staff are in an effort to be safer at home and to really practice what we preach. We have these folks working out of their homes, and local health department staff are also, working in a variety of ways. But many staff around the state and local health departments are also working out of their homes doing this work.
We're talking about the work of contact tracers with a state epidemiologist who's coordinating this work. The DHS's Tracy DeSalvo is our guide. Have you received a call from a public health contact tracer because you may have come into contact with someone who's tested positive for COVID-19? What was the conversation like? What do you want to know about the work of contact tracing? Join in with your situation, your questions, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Tracy DeSalvo here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about contact tracing in Wisconsin. The Department of Health Services, DHS's Deputy Secretary Julie Wilms-Van Dyke, explained the work at Tuesday's DHS press briefing. She said testing without tracing is ineffective.
It's not about getting you in trouble, and they are not allowed to share your personal information with anyone else. The reason they are asking these questions is to help protect the health of your friends and neighbors.
How do you think public health officials should be tracking people who test positive? What do you want to know about this work? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Tracy DeSalvo, who's chief of the Communicable Diseases Epidemiology Section at DHS, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Nick is joining us from Brookfield. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering whether in identifying that the caller is an actual official from the health department, would there be a way that concerned citizens could call, or I'm sorry, could go onto a website or something where we could enter a passcode for our particular contact information so that when the health official calls, they would be able to say that passcode that we predetermined ourselves, so we know that it's not someone else trying to get our personal information or something else like that.
Thanks, Nick. I think that's a really great idea, and it's certainly something that I can take back as a suggestion for a better way to allow people to identify themselves and verify our identity. So thanks for sharing that thought with us.
Oh, Nancy and Verona wanted to know that if someone would miss the call from a contact tracer, what might the message be like? Would they leave a message?
Sure. So they will leave a message with the opportunity to contact us back, but we are going to try more than once. So if you miss our call, certainly please call us back at that number that we leave on your voicemail, but also know that we will try you again.
Let's take Mark now, joining us from Grand Chute. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. I'm wondering what's being done about tracing asymptomatics to find them and be right on top of it. Are there any models in any other countries or places?
Mark, thank you for that question. Tracy, what can be done to track down people who are not showing signs of the coronavirus, but, have the virus?
Sure. And that's really where the importance of, having testing happening on a more large scale is really important, especially in maybe an outbreak situation where you have, a larger group of people who are exposed. We've really found value in testing some of those asymptomatic exposed people to identify people who might be asymptomatic cases. And then just like with a case who had symptoms, we'll follow up with those asymptomatic individuals and do the case patient interview because they are positive and they are a case. And we'll, work on what their exposures were and then work to identify people that they might have exposed so that we can continue to do contact tracing, even branching out from people who are asymptomatic cases.
Mark, does that make sense?
Not quite. It doesn't seem to be an aggressive enough effort. And I wonder about transparency. Who's reporting? Where would you find current information on the status of finding asymptomatics? Is it just in the news, or is there?
Is there good tracking of asymptomatic people? I think maybe what you're asking, Tracy, is there any way to track down this data?
Sure. So we do have a good amount of data on cases on our DHS website. That's at dhs.wisconsin.gov. And we have a good amount of COVID-19 information on those web pages. Not necessarily specific information on the number of people who are asymptomatic, but really we do focus on identifying those cases as well, right? The goal is to identify as many cases of COVID-19 as possible so we can do contact tracing with them and really identify those people who might be exposed. And the goal of contact tracing really down the line is to prevent additional exposures, right? So we're looking to say, you are a person who was exposed, and we're going to give you some measures that you can put in place, quarantine and physical distancing, that will help to prevent you from spreading the illness to other people. And that's really the end goal of contact tracing, is to sort of stop the transmission once we've identified people who are positive.
We're talking with Tracy DeSalvo, who is chief of the Communicable Diseases Epidemiology Section for the state DHS, taking your questions about the work of contact tracing at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mary Kay now, joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I have a question about testing itself. I'd rather see more scientists go to China to find a cure for this, because what if you're negative 1 week and then you're positive the next week?
Yeah, and so, you know, basically, can the work of contact tracing end up being null and void, Tracy, if, you know, you're negative and then the next week you're positive?
Sure. Thanks, Mary Kay, for that question. I think, you know, that's a really important point, is that the test that is being done for COVID-19 tests whether or not you have the illness right now. And certainly someone could test positive today and they could test negative today and then test positive, you know, in a week. And that's part of the reason that we focus on that 14-day incubation period. And that's really the amount of time that we think it's possible after you're exposed for you to become ill. And so that's also why we use 14 days as the period of quarantine, because we know that any time during those 14 days, someone who has been exposed to COVID-19 could become sick. And so we're really asking them to reduce their exposure to others during that 14 days when they could become sick.
Tracy, are you using any smartphone apps or any type of digital tracking to track people who have tested positive?
So we are looking into some of these digital solutions. I know that there are several that are out on the market, and other states are starting to adapt them as well. So we're investigating those systems and how they could integrate with our existing disease surveillance system. And I think there will be more to come on that in the coming days.
And so currently, no, there are not any type of apps that patients would be entering in their symptoms or anything like that.
We don't currently have an app that we're using for that. One of the things that we're using from our current surveillance system is a method where case patients or contacts who have already talked to public health will be sent an email, and this would only be to someone who's already interacted with public health, so it won't come from us without sort of pre-warning. And that's a way that people can click a link and they can use their phone or their computer and they can report symptoms and they can do sort of their daily monitoring of symptoms electronically, and the public health department then sees that information.
And that email, is that the sole form of follow-up?
So that would be a supplemental way that we're doing some additional follow-up after the phone call, right? So that's okay. That email will not be your first point of contact from public health. That would be an additional follow-up.
So after lockdown restrictions are eased, once we start seeing retail stores reopening, the economy reopening, will you still be doing contact tracing when the Safer at Home order is lifted?
Yes, we definitely will. So contact tracing is one of the really core functions of public health. It's something we've been doing for a long time. We do it for other illnesses, like sexually transmitted illnesses, for things like tuberculosis. So it's something we've been doing for a long time. And especially as we start to open up the state of Wisconsin more and people are out and about more, it is going to be extremely important that we continue to focus on contact tracing and continue to make sure that people who have an exposure are doing their 14-day quarantines to reduce additional exposures happening. Contact tracing is really one of the main ways that we're going to be able to continue to keep the spread of COVID-19 low in Wisconsin after Safer at Home.
I'm sure you've learned things from doing this for STDs and tuberculosis, as you said, but can you scale it up? The sheer volume of contact tracing in this situation seems very different than the past.
Yes, it definitely is. This contact tracing effort is certainly at a different scale than what we would be doing sort of in a typical point in time. And that's really why we've supplemented the local health department capacity with our state-level staff and why we continue to hire more state-level staff to supplement that capacity. And we have had contact tracing positions posted at the state level, and we've really had a great turnout and people who are interested in those positions.
And I understand people speaking other languages, contact tracers who are bilingual, multilingual, is very important at this point.
Yeah, we really would get a lot of value from additional, you know, bilingual and multilingual contact tracers. When we have non-English speaking people to do a contact tracing or case interview with, that's really the best way to do that interview, is to be able to do that in those folks' primary language. And we do use LanguageLine as well to supplement that, but we really would love to have more bilingual contact tracers.
Well, Tracy, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me, Kate.
Tracy DeSalvo is chief of the Communicable Diseases Epidemiology Section for the State Department of Health Services. Coming up, we talk with the theater community about how local theater companies are coping with being closed during the pandemic, what they're trying to do to survive. Do you perform with a local theater troupe? Do you volunteer for a theater production in your town? Join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about live local theater. We'll be back to talk about it with Idle Stages right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.